All right, here we go. Mario Lopez here. Another fun episode of my podcast, Listen to Mario. And this week, we are digging into the archives and giving you an interview that I did with one of the most infamous comedians ever, Mr. Andrew Dice Clay. Oh, as a kid, he was my favorite because he was so naughty, really. And Dice, of course, is one of the most politically incorrect comics out there. And he's turned into quite the actor. He's actually really good. I loved him in Vinyl over on HBO. Spent two seasons playing a version of himself on his Showtime show, Dice. And, of course, he made quite a splash playing Lady Gaga's father last year in A Star Is Born. Dice, also in the podcast game, just announced a big new comedy tour with Roseanne Barr. Talk all about that and more, so let's get into it.
Listen to Mario!
Mr. Andrew Dice Clay, how are you, sir?
I'm
always
really
good to see you.
Really good. Great to be here with you. I admire your studio. You know,
appreciate
and it's not
that.
Like I don't see you, you know, because you're all over.
Thank you. You were telling me I stalk you in hotel rooms, which, by the way, the interview we did prior where you talked about that, that is now going to be in the hotel room. My producer wanted me to tell you. You're going to be watching in your hotel room.
No,
you talking about being in the hotel room.
No, because you make me comfortable. You know what I mean?
I appreciate
like if I'm
that.
In a, you know, a state like, I don't know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, at a casino, and I turn on that and I got to get ready for a show, and you have those before show jitters.
Right.
You know, and I go, just find Mario. Just find Mario.
That'll and relax you.
Like, I don't care that you're talking about what they might have or what movies are coming.
Right.
I'm hearing, okay, Dice, just take it easy. You've done this 1,000 times.
Yes.
You've played the biggest places in the world. Nobody's ever going to top you. You're the greatest comic I've ever seen ever in the world.
Those are the vibes I'm trying to get across.
No, that's what you're saying. And you might be talking about like Equalizer too.
Right.
But I'm hearing something else.
Right. I love it. That's my favorite, man. Yeah. Well, congratulations, oh my gosh, on everything. But first I want to talk about A Star Is Born. You play Lady Gaga's dad. And I just think it's awesome because all the names that were kind of bandied about there, and Bradley Cooper personally reached out to you for this role.
It was really exciting. And I didn't even know what he wanted from me.
How did that conversation go when he reached out?
Well, this is what happened. This is the whole story. Okay. So I go and I put Guns N' Roses back together single-handedly. Took me a little while.
Wait, what?
No, it was written about in Rolling Stone. I'm not making it up. What happened was my son Max, who's the drummer in his band with my son Dylan and Kyle.
One of our producers, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's saying to me since he's 15 years old, he goes, Dad, you know you're the only one that could ever put GNR back together. You know, because of how they look up to me. You know, they originally came to see me at the Wiltern. Then they were at the amphitheater. They used to ring my bell when I was up from the rock and roll Rouse on Sunset.
Right.
They'd ring my bell 3 a.m.
Wow.
So we became very close. I wound up doing the Rose Bowl with them, you know, in between Metallica and GNR.
Yeah.
I did a set and then I brought acts. So we were always close. So I said, look, if it's ever really called for, I'll just put them together. I know what to do. So because of my son's band, I need rock and roll in the world, okay? Real rock and roll, which GNR is, obviously.
Right.
So the first guy I get was Slash. I was doing a tour in Australia. I was there for about 10 minutes. And we were at the top of this hotel in Sydney where they serve breakfast and they got big porches sitting outside. So I come out there and I say, you mind if I smoke? Because he's just sitting there, you know? He goes, and he's going, Dice. And I go, hey, how you doing? What are you doing out here? I said to him. He goes, well, I'm playing their like national anthem at one of their football games.
Right.
So I look at him and I go, yeah, that's big. You know, and he goes, no, it's going to be on TV. I go, yeah, great. You know, you're doing the national anthem. You're Slash. You're one of the biggest players, greatest players ever in all time. I go, so I want to know what the argument was that happened about 23 years ago that you guys can't put it back together and thrill the millions of people that have come to love you since you broke up.
What was it?
You know, just dumb stuff that every band goes through, you know. So he started talking very positive about Axl because that was always the problem. So now I come back to L.A. Okay. Next up, I got to get Duff. So Duff comes with his wife to see my son's band at the a place on Burbank Boulevard. And what was great, he stayed through the whole show and he was really into the boys. And the next day I'm hanging out with him and my son, Max, who really can't believe it. Like, why is he with Duff?
Right.
Because I've told him a million stories how we used to hang out, but now he's seeing it.
Right.
You know, and Duff's giving him great advice, you know, about the band and what they need to be doing. And, you know, it gets to the point where I go, okay, what's the next move? Because I don't have patience for this. You know, and the road manager is there, Tom Mayhew.
Right.
So Tom is like, well, we got to get Slash because he would be condescending all the years when he would put out tweets and stuff about mm-hmm. Axl, like girlfriend and boyfriend that broke up.
Right.
You know, nonsense. So what happened is I open a show now at the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas for Axl. It's his last show. And I'm working in a smaller room at the Hard Rock. I'm doing vinyl. He's in the joint. So I opened the last show he's doing. And then we're hanging out afterwards. And I got both my sons there, which is like, you know, for them, they grew up, they just idolize him. You know, it's like if I met Elvis, I wouldn't know what to say, you know.
Of course.
So you know, Axl, you know, did like a 2.5 hour show. Fantastic, you know. He's going, Dice, what'd you think of the show? I go, best you've been, you know. I mean, your voice is incredible. Great, great show, whatever. You know, and he goes, why are you saying it like that? I go, because you're working with a cover band. You're in front of 3,000 people, which I could be doing. I go, you should be in front of stadiums. I go, it's an obligation to your fans. Put it together. So now Slash does put out the positive tweets about how great Axl is. Band's back. I got so excited. I'm coming home from a gig in my car, also in Burbank. And I hear, is it true that the original lineup is getting back together? You know, and I was just thrilled. And then it happened.
Look at that.
You know, so I love. So I was at the very first show. You're talking about Bradley at the Troubadour with my sons. And this little VIP, it's a small place, the Troop, like 300 people. So I wanted to see that first show together, which is where Axl actually fell and broke like his ankle.
Oh, yeah.
You could relate, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You and him do like the same things. So so you must look up to him too. So anyway.
My era.
So the show is fantastic. And as I'm leaving, I'm passing Bradley Cooper. And I go, I just want to tell you, I thought you were great in Sniper, you know. And his mother grabs me and she goes, not so fast. You don't know what you mean to our family. You know,
the mom.
Yeah. And I go, yeah, but you know, I love your son. I have followed his career. I just want, she goes, no, tell him Bradley. You know, she goes, Dice, how many times were you at the Philadelphia Spectrum? Cause he's from Philly.
Right.
And I go, well, I've done it 3 times. And she goes, we were at 2 of those shows. She goes, that's what you mean to us. Couple months later, I'm in his office talking to him, you know, for 3.5 hours. And mostly, you know, we're talking about the movie, but mostly I'm talking about my sons because he was ready to have his first child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I wind up playing him half their album because I always carry their CDs, you know.
Good dad.
And he's telling me how he had to learn guitar.
Right.
For A Star Is Born. You know, and I said, you know, well, if you need some help, my son Dylan, you know, he's really great at this stuff, you know. And he goes, I'd like to meet him. And the next day, so the meeting's coming, 3.5 hour meeting. I don't even know what it's about. So when I'm leaving the meeting, I look at Bradley. I go, let me ask you something, because I'm pretty sure my sons, who are in their 20s, you know, are sitting on our front porch, you know, which is hysterical because I've turned my front porch in the valley, like a nice neighborhood. Looks like a Brooklyn stoop.
That's great.
There's an old office chair that's bent to the side with the foam coming out of the arm.
Yeah.
like the neighborhood hates us.
Right.
And yeah, there's lounge chairs. Like, you know, when people walk by, they're going, why?
Yeah.
Why are these animals still living here?
Put up a wall.
You know, so I said, so my sons are going to be waiting for me. I go, what do you think I should tell them, like, about this meeting? Like, how did it go? And he goes, you want me to tell you what to tell your sons? I go, yeah, because I don't know what you're thinking, you know.
Smart.
So you tell me what to tell them. And he goes, I think it went really well. I go, okay, you know, remember you said that, you know, I'm from Brooklyn.
Right.
So I go home and I tell him it went pretty well. You know, he said to tell you that, you know. The next morning I have a text. Can I go into Hollywood and meet Stephanie, who's Lady Gaga? You know, she's recording some stuff for the movie. So I go over there. We meet. You know, instantly we got along. Like, her crew parted like the Red Sea when I came in the studio. It was funny. But we talked about, like, you know, becoming a phenomena. Like, when she broke.
Right.
You know, she goes, but what about you? And I go, yeah, when I broke, I go, I was like the Lady Gaga of comedy.
Right.
So I know what it feels like.
Good analogy.
You know, to be, you know, because fame, as you know, could be a very scary place.
Exactly.
And a very lonely place.
Right.
And when you become a phenomena, you know, who do you keep around if you're smart? Your family, your friends, and that's what she does. And then Bradley showed up at the studio, and he took us in another, you know, room where nothing's going on. And he goes, all right, let's work some scenes. I go, what scenes? I don't know the movie. You know?
Right.
You know, I just got the script. Like, what are you, out of your mind? He goes, calm down. It's going to be fine. And he takes us both, like corners of the room, like fighters, you know. And he whispers stuff to me, whispers stuff to her. So the first scene was pretty light, okay? Just a father-daughter scene, you know. Now, the second scene, he gets into my head, you know. And he talks about, like, my kids and if this happened or that happened. And I go, all right, I could do that, you know. So now the scene starts and I'm feeling nothing, you know. But I'm wearing dark glasses like this. And I also wear this, it's not for guns, but it looks like a two-gun holster that I okay. keep my wallet, glasses, the phone, you know. It looks like I'm ready to say, you know, like I'm Doc from the movie Tombstone, right. You know, going
Doc Holliday.
Yeah. Just say when. Yeah. That's what it looks like, you know.
Right.
So I go, Bradley, I don't know what's going on. Forget this. You know, he goes, what do you mean forget? I go, I don't feel it. I feel nothing. I go, wait a minute. I know what it is. And I take my glasses off, you know. And then I start, and I'm still not feeling it. I take the bag off, the two gun. And I'm like, all right, we should be okay now. Now I feel normal. Now I feel like a dad, you know.
Yeah.
3 minutes later, I'm holding her head against my chest. Tears are falling off my face. And I'm actually looking, even though I'm in it. Like, why am I holding her? I know this girl for 20 minutes, you know. It's Lady Gaga. She's, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm crying on, and he's on the floor, and he's going, yes. Yeah, I knew it. I knew it with you, Dice. I knew it since I saw Blue Jasmine that you can do some, you know. So, you know, so now it's Sunday, and you know how long it takes to get a part.
Right.
You know, it
could go, so that was a screen test, essentially.
Yeah. Calls me Monday night. He goes, I want to offer you the part of Lorenzo, which is you know, her father.
Lorenzo.
And it was emotional for me because, honestly, after I did... Yeah, I got to work with some great directors over the last few years.
Woody Allen, and you know, you stole the, like I've told you, the in vinyl, the performance was...
Yeah, and I'm always looking to prove myself.
Right, right.
And so after I got done with that, I didn't even want to do any more movies. Huh. I was like, I'm just going to stick with the comedy.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, Bradley's calling you up, wants you for the... And I loved The Star Is Born when I originally saw it with Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
And... I told my sons, I go, I'm going to make this a tribute to Elvis.
Hmm.
Because what had happened is the Star Is Born that Streisand did with Kris Kristofferson was originally supposed to be Elvis and Barbara Streisand.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Because I'm really close. I don't know if you ever meet Jerry Schilling? He's Elvis's. He grew up in Elvis's house.
Huh. That's right.
The house he lives in L.A., yeah. Elvis bought him. You know, I've been up there a million times. He's shown me pictures when they went to see Nixon. Jerry's the one that went with him. Yeah. Like, you're out of your mind. You're just going to see the president, you know. And so he was like his best friend. He even wrote a book called, like, My Friend Elvis.
Yeah.
You know, and Jerry Schilling ran the estate for years. So he told me the whole story of Elvis and Streisand, that they'd sit in Elvis's dressing room in Vegas after their separate concerts and talk about A Star Is Born. Elvis was all pumped to do it. But Colonel Parker, moron, stupid person. I can't use the words I really want.
Who took 50% of everything, right?
Yeah, 50%. Wouldn't let Elvis perform outside the States. Huh. Did you know that? Elvis never got to tour Europe.
Yeah, that is
That's
weird.
That's why I studied for performance. That's why I know so much. Yeah. I didn't study comics.
Hmm.
That's why the image of Dice that you knew of was all the leather jackets with giant collars.
Wow.
And he taught me what I knew about performance, only I did it as a comic.
Right.
You know, I didn't study comics. Who cares? You know, yeah. they bore me to tears, half of them. So when I made it in comedy, it was all about the Elvis vibe and creating excitement for audiences.
So it had that, yeah, because it had a little Tony Manero too.
Everything.
A little Elvis.
That's right.
Yeah,
and I would do Elvis at the end of the concerts. Yeah. I had an 8-piece band and we'd really do it. We would do,
what
like
song
during
would you
deserts,
do?
I would do CC Ride, or I would do Baby What You Want Me to Do. I would end with Trilogy, which is that Glory Hallelujah
right.
song, because we were during Desert Storm when my
right.
career took off.
Right.
So I would really do the numbers and people would love it, you know. So, but the bottom line with the Elvis thing is, because they weren't going to give Elvis first billing, like it would have been like Barbara Streisand, Elvis Presley.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
The Colonel said, you're not doing the movie. Mm. If they're not putting your name up first, you're not doing. And that wrecked Elvis because he was trying so many years, because he did all those beach movies,
right.
you know, girls, girls, girls,
yeah.
all that.
On an Acapulco.
I mean, you know, the best of it was the one with Anne Margaret.
Right, Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah, that was amazing
that
because
was great.
Their chemistry.
I like those. Wow, that's
and you
a
know
fun
what went
piece
on
of
there,
info.
Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I know the house.
Right. Oh, really?
It's at the top of Truesdale.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Like on my birthday, I used to, because I lived right down the hill on Doheny.
Yeah.
I used to hike the hill just to touch the gate on my birthday, you know.
Damn,
so
you're a
anyway,
super fan.
Elvis, it ruined him because now he's not getting to do the one dramatic role, which he just would have been outrageous in.
Yeah.
And that's why he spiraled.
Oh, wow. So
even though I wasn't the lead in this movie, I said, I got to do this great.
What an ironic
the
full
Elvis
circle
fan
moment. Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah. Well, that makes it extra special for you. Well, again, congratulations and work
Thank
with Carlos.
You.
But aside from that movie, I just want to talk about a couple other things real quick that you got going on. This really cool podcast, The Dice Cast. I'm
the
over
Dice
here
Cast.
Now.
But do you know why it's called The Dice Cast?
Because it's not supposed to be a podcast. It's a Dice
it's
Cast.
It's a Dice Cast. It's half reality show, half transistor radio show.
Okay, okay.
Like you could listen on your radio, but when you watch it, you see the insanity of it because, you know, you see how we're just sitting around? That's all good. This is great. You're Mario Lopez. You get the sign. They didn't put a sign up of me yet.
It's coming.
But what I'm saying is, you know, people walk out on me. I walk out when I get bored. Or if I see, like last week.
I gotta go, as a matter of fact.
this guy, Nick Vallelonga, who also has a giant film called Green Book. Okay? And it's Spielberg took it over. And it's almost like a reverse of Driving Miss Daisy.
Right.
Where it's a white driver and the passenger is this African-American classical pianist in the 60s. And it's a true story about this guy's father. And in years, he became a great actor. But this is in the 60s when his father was a bouncer at the Copacabana. And they closed for renovations. And this performer needed somebody to drive him through the South. So it's the relationship of those two guys. So last week, I'm doing my... And here comes Nick with some pizza girl. You know, I don't know her. I just saw, you know, that she's hot. So, you know, she brings the pizza in. And I just want to talk to her. I don't want to do the show right now. So I go out to another room with her to rap with her. But I saw it. It's airing this week. And I'm going, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. That's why it became, like, first week, number four.
Right.
You know, out of the top podcasts in the world. And it's a dice cast because it's cutting between when I'm talking to this girl. I'm trying to pick up on the girl.
Right.
Who I don't know is an ex-Baywatch girl.
Oh.
Christy Allen.
Oh, yeah, you know Krista Allen. She's
a great girl. She wound up at my birthday party.
Well, look at that. It worked out.
And
I do know her, as a matter of fact.
But I don't know. I'm thinking it's the pizza delivery girl.
Right.
You know, I don't know every... And now she does comedy.
I'm sure she appreciates that. She does comedy now?
Yeah, and I got my arm around her out in the hallway, and it's cutting back where my son Dylan took over the dice cast.
Right.
Like, where is he? And my opening act, Eleanor Kerrigan's yelling at me when I come in, where are you going?
Right.
You know, I'm going, mind your business where I'm going. Because I used to be with Eleanor.
I
know
a
million girls love you, right? You know that.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, you know that. Come on. This is going on for years. You know. But what I'm saying, not every girl in the world loves me, but the ones that do, it's like forever. You can't shake them. You know, so Eleanor, who to me is the best, one of the best stand-ups in the country. I mean, when she finally does a special, I mean, that's why I don't even say best girl comic, because she's such a killer on
stage.
Just
in general.
She destroys every crowd.
Right.
I mean, you know, and my crowds... Like me, Joe Rogan, we have the most aggressive crowds as comics in the world.
Right.
And she goes up there and just kills.
Oh.
Every night, whether it's 300 people or 3,000.
That's awesome.
Means nothing to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's from Philly.
Got
South
it.
South Philly.
Got it.
You understand?
Of course.
Row home.
Yes.
You know, schoolyard. She loves to fight. You know.
Sounds like
That's
my kind
why
of
she
girl.
Was a good girlfriend for me for a while.
I get it.
Because when I would get into it with people, I couldn't get sued. So she'd fight them. You know what I mean?
She's got your back.
Yeah, she's like tough as nails.
Must listen to podcasts right there, the Dice Cast. We'll put up all the info on Mario.com.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
We'll put
this
it
isn't
off.
Like
no.
something...
Yeah.
You know, why do you have all your hair?
I got your back.
I don't get that. That bothers me. And not to break what we're talking about.
I'm lucky.
Are you married now?
I'm married. I got two kids. Those are my two kids. I got little ones.
Yeah, No, that's beautiful, but you don't need marriage to do all that.
No, you're right.
How many years you married?
Oh, God, what about 5, 6, something like that? We've been together like 9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 9,
So it's still pretty fresh.
Yeah, it's still pretty fresh. I mean, we got about a dime in. We got about 10 years in. It might have been 6 years. I think we're married about 6 years,
But I
actually.
Think you're the type of guy, you're a romantic.
Yeah. I would consider myself,
like,
sure.
What are you going to bring her today when you come home?
Well,
like,
it's not an everyday thing. We can't spoil them. Come on. You know that, Dice. But,
No, I do. I actually do.
Every day, it's a lot of work.
No.
It's a lot of work. But
well,
when I go...
Well, that's why I'm single now.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been through it.
I'm sure you have.
You know, I get married all the time.
Oh, yeah. How many times have you been married?
Three times.
Oh, three times. Is that
three
it?
Three times. I was engaged to Eleanor, who I was 15 years ago.
Oh, you
we
love
engaged.
Love then. I like it.
Yeah, I never give up on the prospect of real romance. And I think that's part of the reason people...
That keeps you young.
But going back to the movie, that's why this movie keeps getting remade.
Right.
Because if you think about it, what's it about?
Love story.
And it's a dark love story.
Right.
Because we all keep trying, but especially in the world of showbiz, it's very hard, you know, to stay married because of... All the temptation.
Right.
You know.
Especially in your position, you know, you're on the road a lot.
Right. Forget about the cheating, you know, because I'm no good. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, I don't cheat a lot, you know.
Right.
Like if my wives knew it was just, you know, like accidents.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nothing crazy. But now that I'm single, you know, my son Dylan... You know, I go, you know, I got to start all over. You know, I got to get my game.
Right.
you know.
I'm sure your game is tight still.
No, but you got to start like with a Monday girl, you know. You know, Monday you find like at a bus stop. Right. You know what I mean? I sit there with a coffee, you know, and I wait around, and here comes somebody with their backpack and the stupid bun. You know how they all ruin their own hair. Women don't know what to do with their hair.
Right. They're a Monday.
You know how I've had breakups over the bun. You know what I mean?
Right.
I start taking you out. Your hair's all down and long and beautiful with the makeup. And the minute they move in, they tie it into a knot like a Holiday Inn maid. You know, they go into the bathroom with the long, like they wore it all night.
Right.
Everybody gets, oh, look how beautiful. They go into the bathroom looking like Marilyn Monroe. And here comes Marilyn Manson out of the bathroom. I'm like, no, you got to pack. You know, no, we're not going through the rest of the night.
They
got to
keep up
now.
Appearances. They got to keep up appearances.
Yeah, because, you know, the first
thing. We need a visual.
Well, the first thing of any relationship is attraction.
Yes.
That's it.
Right.
Listen to me here. I don't allow low tailbones. If a tailbone's too low, that means her butt is going to start dropping at an early age. You know what I mean?
Yeah, these are wise words.
You want a high butt. You know what I mean? So you might have to shave your tailbone a little to get it over there.
Right, okay.
But if you have a low tailbone, last thing you want is a bun and flip-flops with the sound of the flip-flop, the heel, smacking the bottom of your foot just makes me nauseous. You know, you can talk all day long. You could tell me all the things that are bothering you that I really couldn't care less.
Right.
Just don't be wearing a bun. Be wearing spikes. The hair's down, low-cut shirt.
Yes.
You notice how the big butt
right
is all famous now?
Right.
How they can't showcase
I've always
it.
Embraced it, but go on.
Me too.
Okay, see, we're
Do you
the
know,
same.
You, girls used to hang up the phone when I'd say, oh, you know, I really admire your big fat butt. You
right.
know, only I would use like the S word.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So they'd hang up. They go, how dare you say, I go, it's why I said hello.
Yeah.
I don't know why you were getting it.
Don't shy away.
That's 30 years ago, but today.
It's embraced.
Please.
You
if
got
I
implants
showed you my Instagram.
I know.
I can't even see the rest of the girl. That's how big they grow.
Right, exactly. You know. All right. Listen, Dice, before I let you go, I want to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers, okay?
All right. Let's see if I can do that.
Favorite Gaga song?
Oh, I like the original. You know, I fell in love with her like with Monster.
Okay. Last show you binged watched.
Oh, well, I love. Wait. Binge watch would be.
When you kind of power through, you want to see them all.
Billions.
In. Great show, huh?
Unreal.
Great show. Celebrity crush growing up.
I'd say Suzanne Summers.
Okay, a little Three's Company right there.
Well, I didn't need the other one. The other one didn't do anything.
The other one didn't do anything.
I mean,
right.
She was cute, but next to Suzanne.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. If you could be any animal, what would you pick?
Lion.
That was quick.
No,
was...
because I that's what I call my company because, see, if you notice, the lion could kick anybody's butt in the jungle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, it's not the biggest animal in the jungle, is he?
It's not.
No. Isn't a bear bigger?
Sure.
Right? You see what I'm saying?
Right. They're in a forest, but that's
the
all right.
The thing about a lion, is when a lion is threatened and he feels his back against the wall, the claws grow.
Right.
And that's why he could take anything down.
That's you. You chill like a lion.
Yeah, I really do.
You like the women to do the work and bring it.
No, it's not about the work. I could cook chicken. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm a chicken cooker.
I'm with you on it. And last question. They're doing the Andrew Dice Clay movie, biopic. Which actor would you cast in that role?
Well, there's something going on now with Gene Kirkwood and Chaz Palminteri, who's writing this thing.
Ah,
yeah,
like love that.
It's pretty amazing. And, you know, Gene, you know, I don't know. Have you ever interviewed him?
No, I haven't. But Chaz Palminteri, yes. He's a great
one
guy.
One of the biggest producers ever. You know, everything from Rocky One.
Right, no, I get
the
it.
The movies that you would love, like Pulp Grinch
Village.
But
if you're
Village.
The producer on this one, who would you cast? What actor would you cast?
Well, I used to want James Franco. I even met with him about 10 years ago about it, but there was no book even yet. And just the greatest guy. But
right,
it's good we casting. Also need a guy that when they play me, you know, younger, they have to sort of look like me. And right. Franco yeah. had that, you know, he's got the egg. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you see my head? It's like more of an egg. Yours is a little rounder than my head. You have more of a tomato.
I got more of a tomato.
So we needed an egg.
Is Bradley Cooper an egg?
I spoke to him a little about it, but he was so absorbed.
Right.
Because he could do it.
He could
do
it.
You know who I really love?
What's the head shape like,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah.
He could do it. Yeah, he's a good actor.
And more than the look. He would have the look, but in all the films he's done.
Yeah.
I've seen all, I know how I am personally, not just right. on stage, because it's almost like playing, for an actor, it's like playing two parts.
Right.
Okay, you're playing that, the animal that the world knew as Dice, and then you have the father, the husband, you know, the personal life, which
right.
I'm very different in. And so you need a guy that could play, you need a great method actor.
Right.
That will take that on.
Yes. All those choices, excellent choices. I'd watch all the movies. Thank you so much for taking the time. Such a pleasure always to hang out
always
with you, sir.
Always great to be here.
You can follow him on Instagram, maybe even slide into his DMs if you're a hot girl with a big round booty.
Oh, yeah.
You never know.
I'm on Andrew Dice Clay Instagram.
At Andrew Dice Clay, exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of girls do write to me, but I can't bother with them. Do you know what they do?
What do they do?
This is what they do. All right. Like, I had a girlfriend on Instagram for like a year. I think they're broken up now. You know, and, you know, I met her once, and then we'd Instagram talk. And then we had a phone conversation, more than one, and then more Instagram talk. But what's happened to people is you could actually have these relationships just on Instagram, and then they just disappear like it never happened.
Wow.
Robotic. They're
wow.
robots today. Huh. It's very hard to start a relationship today because you could write to a girl, hey, how's it going? Week and a half later, good. How are you? What?
What kind of-
This is 118 hours ago I wrote this to you. You know, years ago, you had to dial the phone. That
right.
was it. The only way you're going to talk to a girl is call that house
exactly.
phone.
Exactly. I miss those days.
So do I. You could call 2:30 in the morning. You had to go up against it. It wasn't a text. You want to come over?
Yeah.
And 9 days later, I'm busy right now.
Yeah, I know.
You've been busy for 3 weeks. Years ago, you'd have to call the house. You
right.
don't know if the mother's picking up, the right. father's picking up. Who's calling this house 3:30 in the morning? No, it's Andrew. Send her over. You know, I mean, how many years? You want to take care of her whole life? I got a big house. You know, and get rid of her. She's not that great to look at. Trust me. Because, you know, you probably have a beautiful wife. I've never seen your wife, but you got beautiful kids. I like a girl. I like them pretty, but I like them a little defected.
A little defected?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, look at your wife. Just beautiful, right? Like, this is like... There's nothing wrong here. Like, I could go with a woman like this if one foot's a little shorter than the other. You know, like a little defect.
Yeah, you want to keep them humble.
Yeah, like let's say a girl's a little round-shouldered.
Right.
And now you're in front of her family and she wants to lay into you.
Right.
You know what I mean? You hit her with this. Stand up straight. You want to talk to me like that? Stand up straight. You're in your mother's house. Act like a human being. Walk out of here. Pick up your cup. Walk out. Walk out the door, I says.
Oh, caught his eyes.
You know, talk to me like that, being, you know, hunched over.
I love you,
Dice. Little defect.
At Andrew Dice Clay on Instagram. Be sure to follow him, folks.
So don't forget, new episodes of Listen to Mario dropping every Friday on WithMario.com to catch up on the podcast. And please make sure you follow Listen to Mario on iHeartRadio and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. More fun next week. Thank you so much for listening.